today from the Ohio Newsroom, Appalachian migration.
Support for Today from the Ohio Newsroom comes from Ohio CASA. 15,000 Ohio children are in foster care at any given time. CASA volunteers advocate for these children. Information at ohiocasa.org.
Today from the Ohio Newsroom takes you around the state, connecting you with news and neighbors all over Ohio. I'm Claire Roth. Cincinnati's Urban Appalachian Community Coalition turns 50 this year. The group works to support people with Appalachian roots living in Southwest Ohio and to help preserve their stories. For WISO's Center for Community Voices, Ohio Newsroom's Myra Moorhart spoke with an oral historian who interviewed dozens of Appalachian women to understand the impact of their migration to the city.
I'm interviewing June Tyler,
Faye Massey,
Lorreen Pritchard at her home in Price.
My name is Nola Hadley Torres. I started to do these interviews as part of a history PhD program back in 1988.
Would you say a little bit about your grandparents' background? For both your parents, do you know how they met? Would you describe a mealtime at your house?
A mealtime. Uh-huh.
Would you just describe the school?
The first school I went to was
one of the largest in-citizen migrations in the United States were Appalachians migrating to the north after World War II. And Cincinnati had a long sustained record of urban Appalachian activism and organizations. And a lot of research had already been done. I was interested in finding out, how does urbanization affect Appalachian migrants, particularly women?
I just turned 13. I remember my first look of Cincinnati coming off that ramp, you know, into Lower Price Hill. It was in January. Now it was garbage day. Okay, so you can imagine how absolutely nasty it was. I sure never appreciated hazard like I did after we moved up here. We weren't the only family, especially around that time, because a lot of the mines were closing down.
You know, as a historian, we're very discouraged against oral histories. Oral histories are hard to validate. Did this really happen? What's the evidence? But there's a whole lot of the population that you cannot find a paper trail for. The other advantage of doing oral histories is you can get to what events meant to people.
When I came here, I didn't know that I was so different. I didn't know that I talked funny. I didn't know that people thought I was ignorant because I was from the mountains.
I felt like a real oddball, and my clothes didn't fit in with everybody else's. I mean, you know, my old homemade clothes and hand-me-downs.
I forget how many interviews I did in whole. 28? Yeah, I think that's right. Most of the time, people were very welcoming. I just wanted to get a picture of family life, and it was so different between narrators who lived in really close proximity to one another. Because people have stereotypes of all of Appalachia as being extremely poor, I just wanted to get a better picture of that.
And so we had this big old square house. It had four rooms.
I'd carry water. I'd work outside.
Do all the hard work like chopping, kindling, and digging coal and those kinds of things.
And then we raised enough vegetables to do us year-round.
I think over the course of the interviews, as I found out more and more about each of the women, I just felt so much respect for them. Almost all of them gave me information about being extremely motivated to support their families and their community.
Now, I don't know if it's because I'm an Appalachian, but I've got something inside me that is just keeps me going, because I have been through a lot. And I got a real sense of pride for where I'm from, who I am. No one's ever going to make me ashamed of where I'm from. I'm proud, boy. I'm proud to be an Appalachian.
Those voices are from the archives of Nora Hadley Torres with Cincinnati's Urban Appalachian Community Coalition. This piece was produced by Myra Moorhart. That's all today from the Ohio Newsroom. We'll talk with you tomorrow.